So darshan literally means seeing, but it is seeing of another kind, because we can see with the physical eyes, we can see with the eyes of the mind, and we can see with the eyes of the soul. So what happens during darshan is that through the mortal eyes, through these eyes, physical eyes, as they fall upon the divine representative upon earth, divine in form and name, not just as a formless reality, by the shock of this contact, a contact is established between the divine consciousness in the divine representative, the master or the avatar, as the case may be, and the human soul. And this contact awakens the psychic being, which is lying asleep, ordinarily covered up by ignorance as fire with the smoke. So as the psychic being awakens at this contact, then the rest of the journey automatically starts, because once this flame is lit up and the psychic being awakens, then one cannot really stop the process, whatever be the difficulties on the way. So it serves as a kind of initiation. And though it looks that it is we who have gone and had the darshan of the master, but actually it is the master who calls us. So with regard to Sri Aurobindo and the mother, this is true even at the most outer level. Not anybody or everybody could have the darshan, the privilege, the grace of having their darshan. Not because they would not like to grant it to all, but because one had to have a certain kind of readiness. So initially photographs were sent along with the names of those who wanted to have the darshan, and the mother and Sri Aurobindo would sanction. Then only one could come for the darshan. So it's literally the master who calls, and then one arrives and has the darshan of Sri Aurobindo and the mother. And this darshan seals in that one moment our destiny, because not only the soul awakens, but it is sort of taken up by the divine in the avatar or in the master. A bond is established, a bond which can never be cut. As the mother says, someone whom I have looked even for once, I can never forget. And I hold myself responsible for the person, even if the person has turned hostile and gone away. So this is the power and value of darshan. In Indian thought, it has always been known. So there are different kinds of darshan, the inner darshan, the inner vision of the divine, then the darshan in the vigraha, and the darshan of the guru or the master, and its value has always been known. With Sri Aurobindo and the mother, though the darshan days start technically in 27, but and there is a special meaning to it, but the first darshan which is documented, and there have been others, but one which has been documented very beautifully, succinctly, is by Amrita. So Amrita in 1913, when he comes to have meet Sri Aurobindo, and it's on his birthday, and he documents how when he saw Sri Aurobindo, it was like two lamps of light burning in the darkness of ignorance. So it's a darshan, though it's not recognized as a darshan day darshan. Or the most complete darshan that ever one can say is documented in history is the mother seeing Sri Aurobindo on 29th March 1914, where as soon as she sees Sri Aurobindo, she sees in him the being called Krishna, with whom she was in contact since childhood. She recognizes in him the avatar. And she writes in a diary, "He whom we saw yesterday is here upon earth, and his presence is enough to prove that a day will come when all this darkness will be transformed into light." And as I said, this is a dual seeing. We behold the divine, but the divine also beholds us. And with regard to Sri Aurobindo, when he was asked what did he see in the mother, he says, "Well, Mira is born free, and second thing, that for the first time he saw the complete surrender from the highest states to the smallest cells of the body, and knew thereby that the time has come for the divine life to be realized upon earth. So this, of course, is the ideal, the gold standard. There are many stories of darshan and darshan days. One of them we know is illustrative of what really it means to go and have darshan of the Lord. Swami Sarnanand, as we know, he was blind in both eyes, and he goes and comes for darshan, and somebody asks him that you cannot see and Shurvinda won't speak. So what really you mean when you are going for darshan? And then he gave a very beautiful reply that you people have eyes, but how much can you see with your eyes? Because these eyes conceal much more than what they reveal. So he said that I am not going so that I can see them. I am going so that their eyes can fall upon me, their gaze can fall upon me. So nowadays, for example, when people go to room and someone asks that what is the point of room darshan because you don't see Shurvindo. So my reply is that, well, it's not about our seeing Shurvindo and the mother, but they are there and they can see us. And that's what is the most important thing. So this darshan is a very special event. And with regard to the darshan day and the cards and messages that are displayed, well, it started in 1927 February, or to put it in another way, 24th November 1926. So in 1926, there was a change one could notice in the little group that had formed around Sri Aurobindo and the mother. So the atmosphere used to be very charged suddenly, and it was as if gods were descending into the human beings who had gathered around. Indeed, the gods were descending, and as we come to know later. But one interesting thing was that normally the mother would not come out and give meditation to people. She would be largely in a room, and hardly three or four sadhikas would go and sit with her, and she would give meditation. This was from 1920, 24th April, when she had come. From that time onwards, she was normally not engaged in outer activities or dealing with the disciples, except a very, very few people. So in 1926, Sri Aurobindo would started sending some more people to meditate with her. And when people expressed that they want help from Sri Aurobindo, so they want to be near him, and Sri Aurobindo remarked that if they cannot receive help from the mother, they can much less receive from him. So it was like an eye-opener. And then on 24th November 1926, we know the great event took place, the event of Sri Krishna's descent into the physical. With that, things began to change. So the first thing that changed was Sri Aurobindo withdrew inside in a severe inner intense concentration, more severe tapasya to draw the supermind down to earth more and more. His personal sadhana in a way was complete. Siddhi day, that's what it means. But now it was to grant this siddhi to earth and men who were hardly ready, hardly even knowing what is it that Sri Aurobindo wants to give. And Sri Aurobindo and the mother's contact was meant to help them concretely in this process. So on 24th November 1926, Sri Aurobindo withdrew, and the mother was put in the forefront to take charge of the ashram, the disciples. And in a way, we can say that that was the first darshan, not documented darshan, but the darshan, when in the evening meditation everybody gathered and they saw the Lord descending into Sri Aurobindo, as Datta had remarked at that point of time. Then the first darshan that way took place on 21st February 1927. And Sri Aurobindo sat on the left of the mother, and the mother to the right of Sri Aurobindo. She sat on a stool while Sri Aurobindo sat on the sofa. Later on, of course, they were seen sitting together. But this used to be the darshan protocol, and one by one the sadhaks would come. And the mother's right hand had to be left free because people asked why this arrangement, so that she could bless and pass on whatever had to be passed on to the disciples, whereas Sri Aurobindo was giving to the mother all that he had to give for the disciples. and they received everything from the mother. So this is actually, if you look at creation, that's how the original arrangement is. The Ishwara is behind and the Shakti is there, in working in all the forms, either as nature or Maya or as the divine Shakti. So the dealings of a human being or of any being is through this Shakti, or at a lower level through nature, with the Lord. So she would bless and people would receive. Normally it would be a few seconds to half a minute, and that was enough to transform people's life. There are such wonderful, beautiful accounts of the Darshan and Darshan Day. And even there the sequence was fixed. So it was not just a random event that people form a queue and they are coming up. For instance, there is this instance of Charu Chandra Dutt. He was supposed to be the first one normally to come later on. I don't know what was the arrangement in 27-28, because Charu Chandra Dutt has come later. And as the story goes, once when someone else was going before him, suddenly Sri Aurobindo sent word that he should be stopped, because this is the arrangement. And we know how Charu Chandra's story, his association with Sri Aurobindo from the revolutionary days, where he had had a grouse with Sri Aurobindo that why did he leave and go away. And Sri Aurobindo still remembered him when Dilip Kumar Roy asked, and he said, "Oh Charu, yes, I remember him as one of those front rank of humanity, and someone with whom he has fought the battle of the ages." So you see, the divine remembers us even when we don't know either ourselves, we don't know the divine, but he remembers us. And when the time comes, the call comes. And when the call comes, we stand face to face with the divine, and it changes our life. So that's why Sri Aurobindo and the mother never encouraged disciples to call people for darshan. So unlike many of the neo-gurus, we see that there is almost a competition to call people, to recruit disciples. Sri Aurobindo and the mother very clearly said this. There are letters to that effect. Sri Aurobindo says that one should not call anyone forcibly on darshan. Just because, one sees, oh, it's a very special event, it'll be nice if you can come. So only when somebody expressed an inclination, there were ways and means that one came to know. And if someone expressed the inclination, only then, and then only, the letter and the photograph were sent, and Sri Aurobindo and the mother would ask to come. So initially we had these three darshans: February darshan, 21st February, and 15th August darshan, Sri Aurobindo's birthday. And the third was 24th November. So in these first two darshans, February and August, a larger number could come. I mean, it was not so strict. The disciples could ask for someone and they would normally agree. But in 24th November, it was largely confined to the disciples and the very close ones. So understandable in a way also, because 21st February and 15th August, the floodgates are open, as the mother said in one of her conversations, that 15th August is the day of great amnesties, when all errors are wiped away. So they are very special events. And what it meant, what happened during the darshan is, as Sri Aurobindo observed and the mother later recalls, that Sri Aurobindo in his presence on darshan day, special forces would descend in him, the supramental forces that had not yet started manifesting upon earth. They were descending only in mother and Sri Aurobindo. So they would descend and they would hold that force in the material frame. You see, that's the beauty. We speak about the divine being within or up above, but we cannot contact. In form and name, our eyes, our instruments are not equipped. So the divine comes within the range of our form and name. So he assumes a form, he assumes a name, and therefore through that similar medium, we can come in contact with that reality which is otherwise inaccessible to us. So that is how it was. And Sri Aurobindo and the mother would bring down these special forces waiting for manifestation, and the disciples will go past. They would receive something of that and their lives would change. So this was the purpose. So initially it was thrice a year. Later on, after Sri Aurobindo's fracture in 1938 on 23rd November night, as we know, the Sri Aurobindo was busy protecting the mother from behind, because she had already started getting engaged with the Second World War, which Sri Aurobindo spoke of as the mother's war. and all the clouds had gathered all around, the clouds of war, and she was engaged in pushing it. And at that point of time, these hostile forces, knowing where the hub of the resistance lies, they attacked Sri Aurobindo, and he had the fracture. So during that time, one of the instances, interesting cases, was Nishtha, Woodrow Wilson's daughter, who had come for the darshan. And she, obviously, like many others who had come, was disappointed because they couldn't have the darshan in 1938, 24th November. But then she remembered that, she had been reading the Gita, that one has to take all these things with equanimity and surrender. And then she stayed on. What a surrender, that she just continued to stay on. And as we know that she had a very poor health, and when the US president, whose daughter she was, Woodrow Wilson's daughter, he had sent to call her back to USA for treatment. And she said, well, if I go there, maybe you have better doctors to take care of my body, but who will take care of my soul? So these were the people, and this is how they looked upon darshan, or took the darshan as an event when they could come in contact with something very special that the master was there to give them. And but since on 24th November 1938 the darshan could not take place, people were expecting that maybe on 21st February it would take place, but the mother would not give darshan without Sri Aurobindo. So finally, for 15th August, there was another 6 months gap. So at the request of the disciples, 24th April 1939 was once given the regarded as the fourth darshan day. It started in 1939 at the request of the disciples. It's the day when the mother has come finally, and it's the day about which the mother has said, the tangible sign of the sure decisive victory over the adverse forces. So thence we see four darshan days, and in all these darshan days they are special events when special forces used to descend. But now, as things evolve, for example, the mother remarks in 1956 July, there is a conversation. She says, it's true that that's how it was during that time. But even we see during Sri Aurobindo's time, sometimes he would say that, well, all kinds of forces come and enter and they surround the atmosphere and one has to be on the safeguard. So he would advise that, one should be inwardly concentrated and receptive and not to mingle and mix too much. But 56 onward, the mother said, see, now the purpose of darshan days is different. Earlier it used to be for special manifestations, but now because the supramental manifestation has started, it is much more frequent. She says that it's not necessary that that special descent will take place on the darshan day. It can take place any time, and the disciple has to be just ready to receive it. So this is how the whole thing changed or evolved, we may say. So the disciple asked that, why are you continuing to distribute the message cards? Because in each of the darshan days, the message cards were distributed, as we can see from 53 onward, they are on display. So she said it is to basically spread the message all over. So the purpose of darshan days thereby was not just to so much to come in contact with special descents, but to give the message, to spread it all over the world, to spread far and wide. So the darshan day messages continue to be relevant, and I would say continue to be relevant even till today, because their purpose is, and I know so many people, for example, they come from far off on darshan day just to receive that message, that little touch, concrete physical touch which they receive in the form of a message, and it serves like a beacon light for many of them. So for a long time it was the mother who would choose the passage or message, and these messages were, as the mother says, things we have tried, contested and confirmed. So the purpose of the message was to convey a truth, to give a truth which has been already tried, tested, perfected. And that truth is then given over for the disciple to meditate upon, to receive, to reflect upon and to live in his life. For example, the first darshan message on 20, 1st February 1927, is the first chapter of the book, The Mother. So as we know that for a long time, it was the mother, the divine mother was actually identifying with the one whom we know as the mother as early as 1st September 1914, as far as, it's documented in the prayers and meditations. And surely Sri Aurobindo knew about it. And then she goes to Japan, to France, Japan, and then comes back. So for a long time, she was identified with the Divine Mother. Because there itself, we see in prayers of 5th September or 6th September, 13th September, end of September, early October, that there is a complete identification with the Divine Mother in 1914 itself. But 1926, she takes charge of the disciples and everyone. So Sri Aurobindo now gives this first chapter, what is now known as the first chapter of the mother, which is actually a letter to a disciple, as the message on the first darshan day. So it is something which has been, it's like confirming that this is how it is. So something which was happening, which was still under the process, when it completes that process, is perfected, that is being given to everyone. So we have this, the first message which starts with, there are two powers that alone can affect in their conjunction the great and difficult thing, which is the aim of our endeavor, a fixed and unfailing aspiration that calls from below, and a supreme grace from above that answers. So the mother is the supreme grace, and she is the embodiment of that grace, that love. And this message was meant to communicate that and many other things. The whole sadhana, in a way, in a nutshell, was given that day. And the last message is 24th April 1973. Though that's not the last darshan day. But the last message which was given was on 24th April 1973. And the message is very short but very powerful. Beyond man's consciousness, beyond speech, O thee, supreme consciousness, unique reality, divine truth. Beyond man's consciousness, beyond speech, O thee, supreme consciousness, unique reality, divine truth. Later, as we know, other days were also observed as darshan days, and cards were given, like 1st of January, we know 5th December is also observed as a kind of darshan day. But the darshan day in the real sense of the word were mainly these 4 days, 21st February, 24th April, 15th August and 24th November. And these are the days when one has a time to receive something special. So how are they to be observed? Very interestingly, no fanfare, no celebration, no singing, no dancing, no vital activities. It was always meant to be observed in quiet, receptive state. So whatever the divine is giving, we should be ready to receive it. And to receive it, we should be in a state of quiet receptivity. And to that, if we can add from our side a gesture of giving, that makes it beautiful, because it's only when we give that we are ready to receive. Otherwise, receptivity is blocked after a while. So the more we give, the more we receive. And here we have that clue of the Divine Mother's, if I may say so, a mutual darshan. The Divine Mother sees Sri Aurobindo and the Sri Aurobindo sees the Mother. And she gave herself completely. As Sri Aurobindo said, the completest possible giving, surrender that he observed was when the Mother met him for the first time on 29th March 1914. So well, we may say that this is an occasion when we can give ourselves completely to Sri Aurobindo and the Mother, to whatever extent we are conscious, and through aspiration and prayer, to whatever we are not even yet conscious, but yet we can join that in our giving. And we can dedicate ourselves once again to them and the work, their work of terrestrial transformation, of establishing the rule, the reign of the divine love upon earth, for which the truth consciousness is here. So this in brief is about the darshan and the darshan days. May we all have a beautiful darshan within and without. Jai Maa.